Alan Kohler here, and I'm talking to Vince Ippolito, who is the executive chairman of Botanix, which is an American-based company that's developing a cannabinoid or marijuana-based treatment for acne. It's based in Phoenix, Arizona, but it's listed on the ASX, has been for a couple of years. In June, the shares popped up from 10 cents to 20 cents or 25 cents. After the trials, some trials in Australia came out positive, but last night they released the results of trials in the US, and the shares have sunk back down again to 10 cents, so down 50% today. It's been a bit of a horror show for investors, particularly those who have been buying in the last couple of months at the higher prices. So the question is, what's been going on? And is what we discovered last night, does that mean that the drug doesn't work? So I've grilled Vince Ippolito pretty extensively on it, and I'll leave you to decide whether the thing is now going to bounce back or not, because Vince says it's going to, but at the moment the shares are stuck at a fairly low level, back to where they were before June. So here's Vince Ippolito, the president and executive chairman of Botanix Pharmaceuticals. Vince, I had a kind of weird experience today. I read your announcement to the stock exchange, and I thought it was all very positive and it was looking terrific. And then the stock opened on the stock on the ASX, and it fell more than 50%. I couldn't believe it. Then I go back and I went back to the announcement, and then I think I saw what the problem was, which was that the primary endpoint didn't achieve statistical significance. Is that right? Is that the problem?
Yeah, so I think as some of that initial selling that I think you're seeing here may be some confusion in what people are reading in that press release, because it may be difficult to interpret what really happened here. And so maybe if I just take a minute, we could talk about that and we can go on with some of your questions here. So the purpose of a phase two clinical trial is really to inform your thinking on your phase three trial design and to make ready for your end of phase two meeting with the FDA. So you want to power that in a way that it best informs you of what to do. So actually there is no approval, disapproval on phase two here. It's the clinical endpoints and really how you met them. So when you step back from what you read, and that was actually the reaction that you got when you read through it, was what we were trying to communicate here, is that the company was pleased with the overall efficacy outcomes that we saw in the study here. And, you know, frankly, the 5% once a day dose was very strong for inflammatory and non-inflammatory lesions. And we used a very high endpoint called ITT analysis, which is the clinical endpoint the FDA will do on approval. The safety profile of the drug was super clean, and we expected that because of the body of literature that sits around CBD today and its safety profile. But the drug even performed better. No severe adverse events called SAEs, and that's out of 368 patients that were studied. There were no treatment related withdrawals in that 5% once a day group too, which is what we'll go through and carry on to phase three. And I think what you saw from the data is that the Australian data that we had, and so that was the 11 sites, 111 patients that were in that arm of the study, performed extremely strong in and non-inflammatory lesions. And that's the result we expected to see throughout the entire study. The hitch and the giddy up here, which caused a little bit of disruption in us meeting statistical significance on that primary endpoint, was we had an extremely high vehicle effect, and it was isolated just in the U.S. arm. That's it. The U.S. sites only had that high vehicle effect. So you step back and you read this press release.
You need to, if possible, explain some of these terms. What do we mean by vehicle effect, and what exactly is the primary endpoint versus the secondary endpoint?
Yeah. So when you design your clinical trial here, the FDA has a very defined set of guidelines that you have to follow in order to meet approval. And they're set out in the FDA guidance that is out there today in terms of what you have to do. So you know going into the study, what is it that you got to do to make approval? So your primary endpoint is the endpoint that you're going to base your indication on. And so what are you going to speak to doctors about, patients? What can you say about your drug in a promotional sense is going to be your primary endpoint. And here we chose inflammatory lesions. And so the inflammatory lesions in acne is that pimple that sits above the skin, papules, pustules. The secondary endpoints, or sometimes called exploratory endpoints in a study, here clearly defined as secondary endpoints, are those endpoints that are important in your study, but not that your approval will not be based upon. And again, this is phase two, so there is no approval, no disapproval, but it's the structure of your study. We chose to put non-inflammatory lesions in our secondary endpoint because it's a harder endpoint to really meet in acne, because these are the pimples that sit below the skin. They're harder to reach and it's harder to treat. But what we saw in our clinical studies is that we got a very strong result, not only in the inflammatory efficacy-wise, but in the non-inflammatory lesions in two. You know, a result that I would say would be equal to what some of the leading acne treatments are on the market today. And then there are a number of other secondary endpoints, percent change, number of lesion reductions, a patient's ability to become clear or almost clear with moving 2 points below their baseline of where they are. So there's statistical endpoints, but the primary and, of course, the secondary endpoints are important overall and in the end for your phase three approval, but they're here to inform you about that design in a phase two. So please, if there's any other things you want me to clarify on that regard, as we're talking about these terms, then I'm happy to stop and do that.
Well, so I mean, bottom line here, are you saying that the market reaction to this today's statement is wrong? That because obviously the market's completely now lost confidence in the product as being a treatment for acne. Are you saying that that's wrong? It is going to be a treatment for acne.
Yeah. So. The company, from these data and the interpretation of these data, we are moving forward with our end of phase two meeting with the FDA, and that's when we'll share these data with them, discuss with them our phase three trial design, and we are making preparations right now to move forward with our phase three clinical program. So we have the confidence in these data to move forward. And so the marketplace is interpreting it differently. Secondary, the fundamentals of the company are very strong right now. We're sitting on $37 million worth of cash, approximately burning $3 to $4 million a quarter here. We've got enough money to clearly bring the company through our clinical developments and our phase two readout of atopic dermatitis that will happen in the first quarter of 2020. And of course, that cash doesn't include phase three clinical development, the clinical programs, but the company's fundamentals are really strong right now.
Yeah, but the question remains, I suppose, and the question is, does the stuff work? Does it work? And so what in this phase two trials makes you think that it works?
Yeah, so I think what we saw in the anomaly that we saw in these data is first off, we look at, again, the Australian sites that are there, highly statistical significance, 11 sites, 111 patients, solid performance on inflammatory, non-inflammatory lesions, and clear separation from vehicle. That's what we expected to see. If you look at the US data, you also see those efficacy outcomes. But the one difference is that the vehicle arm that was in the study is unusually high, which really caused us to take a look at, all right, why is this high? which brought us, obviously we went through the entire study to see if any of the clinical sites had abnormalities, patients had abnormalities in it. We saw none of that. We saw that amongst all the clinical sites, whether they were in Australia or the US, that there was consistency in the data, which means that the trial was well executed at that level that we had. So it led us to believe that there was a potential manufacturing problem with the vehicle arm only in the US sites. And so, you know, maybe to give you just a little bit of history on that, I take you back 2 years ago when the company started here. They wanted to get up and running and get out fast to have a competitive advantage. And, you know, frankly, today we've got a great lead on anybody who is going to jump into this space today. And the best way to do that was to go to Australia, where there was familiarity with CBD, most certainly synthetic CBD, and you had manufacturers that had worked with the product before, meaning Botanics, Zenerba, other companies. And we were able to do that and get up and running fast. So people with experience in manufacturing the product. Because there is a DEA process here in the US, well, it took longer to do. Secondarily, everything that we did here in the US was the first time it was done. So there was nobody developing a synthetic CBD with contract manufacturers here. And thus, we had to do 11 batches of material in order to produce enough drug supply for this clinical trial. That's a lot of batches. That's a lot of variability going into making drug supply. And subsequently, we've advanced our manufacturing competencies as a company, and we've got the process down now. But back then, there was a lot of heavy lifting in terms of getting this done. So potentially something may have gone wrong in the vehicle arm here, because we're seeing a very large vehicle effect, and it's just isolated to the US.
Right. So are you suggesting, or do you think that the trial was actually stuffed up in some way?
No, I think it's, first off, this is a very well executed trial. Very well. So the clinicians, the investigators who worked on this trial did a fabulous job, because we see that consistency at the individual patient level, the individual site level. So compliments to all of them. It's just this one arm of vehicle where we're just seeing an abnormality. And that's what's leading us to believe there's something going on in that vehicle arm.
Right.
So subsequently, you know, that manufacturing process has advanced. What was made for our atopic dermatitis products is not only a different formulation, but the process improved. And most certainly, as we're getting ready for phase three, anything that's going to be made in there is now really almost at commercial scale and capabilities, because we've advanced our competencies quite far on that.
So your share price took off actually in June. It started to take off in June after phase one trial, and I think that was conducted in Australia. So are you saying that the results of the trials in Australia are quite different to the ones in America, and there are differences in the way that the trial was put together that have caused those results to be different?
So the trial in Australia was actually, for acne, was a very important trial for us, because it did inform how this study would be designed in phase two. And if you look at those results in terms of efficacy reduction, we got somewhat of similar results in that. So you had some consistency in Australia versus what we see overall here. There was no vehicle arm in the original Australian study that was done in phase one. So the vehicle arm was just in this phase two. And the conduct of the study, again, was very, very strong. The key differences then is really manufacturing that had to be done, because the drug product that was used had to be produced in Australia and distributed there. And the same goes for the US. So there was really no crossing of the line of the drug substance or the drug product once they were manufactured and distributed to the individual countries. So that's where we really see the isolation of what happened here in the vehicle.
I don't want to get too technical, but I think we just need to just further, if possible, understand what you mean by the vehicle arm.
Yeah, no worries. So when you conduct a clinical trial for approval, you have to have an arm of your study that does not contain any drug product at all. So in this instance,
you mean placebo.
So oftentimes the word placebo is used, but placebo really represents more oral products because they're sugar pills. There's actually nothing there at all. And we call it, in dermatology, we also call it a vehicle arm because it is the actual topical that distributes the drug into your skin. And sometimes in dermatology, you hear things called a vehicle effect to the drug, meaning whatever they're putting on the skin is having some effect on it. So we call it a vehicle. Our vehicle is called Permetrex. It's a proprietary technology used to deliver CBD into the skin. And the drug, the vehicle, was actually designed to deliver the drug CBD into the skin with a very low vehicle effect. And what I mean by that is what you see represented in the clinical trial in Australia here, where, you know, that vehicle effect was very low in terms of what was seen. So the vehicle effect then is then measured by what actually happens then. And so in the US, you saw a vehicle effect, that unusual vehicle effect, that was in the 40% range, which is, you know, similar to what was achieved, you know, overall in the efficacy outcome of the drug. But when you go to Australia and you're looking at the overall vehicle effect for those drugs, you've got a marked reduction in terms of the overall vehicle reduction that's seen in that. And it's, you know, it's in line of what was actually expected with the drug. And so that's what we mean by vehicle effect. It's
right, okay. So Vince, if the vehicle was having, if the vehicle with the drug was not having much of an impact, much more of an impact than the vehicle without the drug, then that's surely a problem.
In the US arm, that's the issue that we saw. Yes.
Right. Yes. So are you, but that sounds to me like that's a big problem. I mean, that means that the drug doesn't work, surely.
No, it's exactly the opposite of that. So if you, in the trial, you achieved an efficacy result in terms of your reduction in inflammatory and non-inflammatory lesions that was similar in the Australia and the US. Those were similar results in terms of the efficacy. In Australia, the separation between the vehicle and the drug was big. It was statistically significant. In the US, that separation was not big. And that's what caused the difference in the abnormality we saw in the inflammatory arm. So you're getting an efficacy effect. It's just in the one arm of the vehicles that we had, it was unusually high, and only in the US.
Yeah, but why was that? What's the reason for that?
Well, again, I think we're contributing to 11 batches that we ran. Potentially something went awry in the manufacturing of the vehicle arm, only in the US when it was done, and mainly due to its startup mode and doing everything really for the first time in the country.
Right. So, but you, I mean, just taking the bigger picture, you're still confident that this drug will be an effective acne treatment?
Yes. Otherwise, the company wouldn't be moving forward with the end of phase 2 and preparing for phase 3. Remember, we're looking at the efficacy and the safety of the drug, and we're saying this is commercially viable. We're looking at Australia and saying that's a home run. And we're looking at one arm within the study here, which is the vehicle arm in the U.S., and saying we've got an abnormality here. And our manufacturing process and protocols have advanced over the last 2 years. To how we're producing drug today is totally different than how we did it 2 years ago.
You went through your cash before, which is great. I mean, what you said, just to be clear on it, you've got $37 million in cash in the bank. How much are you burning?
It's about $3 to $4 a quarter.
And is that going to stay the same as you go into phase three now, or is that going to cost more?
No, that would be additional money that the company would raise then for those phase three clinical trials.
Right. So how much will you have to raise?
It depends upon whatever the clinical trial is going to cost. And until we engage with the FDA, we won't know the size of the study, and the size of the study dictates really what the cost is going to be.
Right. Well, okay. Well, it's been an eventful day. All the best, Vince. Thanks very much for talking to us.
All right. Thank you so much.
That was Vince Ippolito, the president and executive chairman of Botanix Pharmaceuticals.